Hi, everybody. This is Brett. Welcome back to School Sucks. Today's show begins a little mini-series covering our activity, some of our activity from the 2013 New Hampshire Liberty Forum. What a successful event for us. I want to say thanks one more time to Jason Osborne, who is a co-host and producer of our live show. He is always a platinum sponsor of these events through his company, SACL CAI, and he included School Sucks in that sponsorship this year. So we were on all of the signage. We got to have a table where I could hand out some CDs and some literature or flyers. People could take them and they can go and bring them wherever they live and post them up, bring them to your school, that kind of a thing. We were in the program. We had a full page ad with all our QR codes for everything I want people to do, which is register for account on the new site, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, subscribe to our YouTube channel, so you could just hover your phone over that QR code and do that. You could do it while you were in the bathroom. You could do it while you were waiting in line for a dinner at the event. Anyway, these next several shows do not have a lot of editing in them. I hope that's okay. I was trying to capture the essence of the event, today's show especially. So if you only want to hear the serious educational conversation that we have, you can jump to 11:45. I included our pre-show and our sound check, which is up until 11:45, where we have this interesting conversation about the possibility of a School Sucks mascot. So if you do want to skip past, your counter should go to 11:45, which is where I would say the actual show begins. And our guests, Gardner Goldsmith and Kate Baker, two familiar voices. We do a lot more Sudbury talk here, but we get some input from some other people, so I thought it was interesting and I thought it was worth including. Let's get started. Plenty of stuff to do here over the next week or so. So I hope you enjoy this. I look forward to your feedback. Thanks for listening and take care.
Is the streaming still?
Yeah, we're streaming right now.
Good.
All right, so we're just going to go around and check our mics. This is my mic. It looks good for the Audacity recording, Osborne.
Mic check for Osborne. Howdy do.
That looks good, Kate. What the...
Not working?
Talk again. And Gardner.
You want to make sure that microphone picks up that sweet voice, baby.
What the heck? Hold
We're
on.
Ridiculous. You sure you want us both on the show? We're ridiculous. Should we do some voices? Can we do some character voices?
That would be great.
Maybe right. I'll just be a character instead.
I need to hear Gardner talk by himself.
Okay. I'm going to be Barack Obama.
Hey, sweetie. It's me. I'm sitting next to Kate. And I'm going to call her, sweetie. I'm going to call her lots of things. Sweetie, honey pie, honey bunches of oats, Cheerios.
All right.
Wow, this is a nice tarp.
Gardner, go ahead and talk again.
Okay, testing 1, 2, 3, 4. A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
A, B, C, easiest 1, 2, 3. Something, 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 I can't remember.
Do, re, mi.
Do, re, mi.
You and me. Hey.
In my face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking evil thoughts.
Do ring
really
me.
Evil. Thinking about sexual stuff. That's the way I am.
It's boys.
Are you recording this on Audacity?
Everything
is recorded.
It's not that we're just recording it. It's streaming
live
on the internet.
It's live streamed on the internet.
Do you represent the teachers' union? That's all I care about.
Boy, it's a good thing that I was channeling a spirit there for a minute. Because if that were really me, that would be really bad. Sure is good, huh, Kate, to be a straight-laced guy.
It's video, too.
Yeah, dude, we're streaming on the internet. What do you think the camera...
Sure is good that guy named Gardner couldn't be here.
His name is actually P. Gardner.
Replacement P. Gardner.
If you wanted to Google him.
G.
P to the double G.
If you wanted to Google him, hey, he has a Wikipedia entry.
I know. It's like, where did that come from? What's up with the Wikipedia? And they even have the thing about the
you
guy's
You didn't create
dog.
Your own Wikipedia entry?
No.
Someone else wrote that about you?
Yeah, it was when I was on...
Dude, when you have your own Wikipedia entry, that's pretty sweet. Don't you think? If somebody takes the time to write a Wikipedia entry about you,
okay, that's cool.
That's like sweet.
Yeah, okay.
That sounds good.
Final check going around counterclockwise. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3.
This is Kate. I'm here.
Osborne talking. Check, check, check.
Oh, man, he sounds really good. I don't even want to be on with Osborne.
You're talking at the same time as him. He's doing a mic check.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. All right, so if you're using an Audio Technica mic, we're good about 2 inches off them. Yours, I'm not sure. Do one more for me, Gardner.
ABC, easy as 1, 2, 3.
You can probably pull off it a little bit.
Pull off it. How is that better now?
That's perfect.
That's perfect. Okay.
Let's roll with this. This is good. Who even cares if this is good?
Don't move. I mean, this doesn't matter. And asking Gardner to like hold a mic and not move an inch is like the most ridiculous thing I've ever considered.
Yeah,
Gardner.
Hopefully she hasn't seen me do karaoke.
Move. Don't move, Gardner.
Don't move, Gardner.
Gardner, freeze.
I explode.
All right. Yeah. So. Yeah, this is going to be pretty ridiculous. I don't know what we're going to do here. I don't know. It's a very silly idea.
That's why I said you really want me and Gardner.
This is cool. So I'll
How about I just stay?
If you want to ask Kate some you know, pointed questions or whatever.
I'll just stay for a little while.
Like, you know, like,
sure.
Hey, Kate, I got an important question. What's your deal?
He knows my deal already.
Hey, it is. I'm Brett with the School Sucks podcast and radio streaming. And guess what? We're going to get really insightful tonight and ask some questions. Okay, Kate. What gives? There you go. Go for it. And then she could just roll with it.
That was great, actually.
Thank you.
That was
Thank
really
you
good.
Very much.
I think perhaps we should include Gardner in on our brainstorming session from earlier today where we were trying to come up with a mascot for School Sucks podcast.
Oh, wow. That's a great idea.
Yeah, what do you think,
mascot?
Gardner?
Mascot. Jeez, man. I mean, you could... Does it have to be non-human?
I don't know. It seems like mascots typically are non-human.
Yeah.
But then there are, you know, the warriors.
Yeah, my college mascot was the Mountaineers. He was a man. He had a green man. When our seasons were off, I guess he did some work with string beans.
Ho, ho, ho.
Oh, he was a giant. Never mind. Sorry. I was just thinking, green man.
No, he just took over for Blue Man Group when they were off color. Anybody was...
Hold on. We lost the connection to Ustream. This will be a real F-fest tonight. I'm recording audio. So
you might as well just, keep it rolling, and the audio will be fun, and the inside story. I don't know, but do you want to continue with the question?
Talk about it now? We are talking about having a School Sucks mascot. So, because, like, to do up more of the school stuff, like, one idea that we had was to have, make a... What was it? What was it called?
A coat of arms.
Coat of arms, like they wear on the private school blazers.
Absolutely, right.
Have you considered, since you used the evolution, just going with like a Cro-Magnon
man? Oh, that's
man?
A cool idea.
Interesting. There you go.
Yeah.
Like maybe.
Or, you know.
In the final development is like this crazy like microchipped up. Dude, like
that might be over the top. I mean, just slightly.
And, like,
just saying.
Pad in his hand, and no,
maybe like multiple mascots, like one for each phase.
No,
of
just, yeah, just to do the whole, you know, the standard evolutionary, you know, diagram, right? Where you get hunched over.
Yeah, all the way up.
Mr.
But he's going to get free school at a certain point. Like you have like a chain with a ball chain on his feet at first. But that. You know, how like could the mascot
off, like,
appear?
The first guy is like pledging allegiance to a flag.
Yeah, and then he breaks out, and finally the ball is gone, and like he's whipping it around or something like
that.
Yeah,
he's like smashing someone in the face.
Yeah,
with
it,
like a
principal. He's like Atlas.
But that's not what we're going for.
That might be over the top too.
Maybe.
I'm just saying.
It's a little ambitious.
Yeah. See, because how could you actually
like
have
a lot going on there?
Yeah, because like if the School Sucks mascot appears at like, you know, events or whatever, like, you know, a giant foam chicken deal. Then, you have to have multiple costume changes. First, he starts as like a caveman dude, he's got the chain, then you got to get rid of the chain, and he's got to get all dressed up like a super spaceman in the end with like flying suit. That could get expensive, Brett. I don't know.
Yeah,
because I've priced a lot of flying suits, and they're pretty expensive nowadays.
What's the earliest example in the evolutionary chain? The Australopithecus man? Lucy?
I think
the one they found in Africa?
Lucy, yeah. Okay. They're going to find Charlie Brown pretty soon, too.
So we do an ape suit, right?
Okay.
Which is what those were.
Yes.
But we do it kind of like, so it's reminiscent of Michael J. Fox in Teen Wolf.
Yes.
Yes, he's got the he's a teen. He's a high school dude. Yeah, that's it. That's it. That's perfect,
jacket.
Dude.
Let's
that's a great
have
idea.
It be the School Sucks podcast.
So he's ready to evolve.
If you're just joining us here on School Sucks Live, we're trying to come up with an idea for a mascot. Trying to establish a more high school theme for the show as far as some of the branding and merchandising is concerned. So we're talking about mascots, and what we've decided on is the School Sucks Teen Wolf.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
It's perfect.
But he's not really a teen wolf. He's like a teen Cro-Magnon ready to evolve.
I mean, I need to make sure that I get credit for the idea of the Cro-Magnon.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then for merch, we could sell ascots. Like, guys, check out my mascot ascot.
My mascot ascot.
I love it. I love it. Awesome. See, I think there's a tipping point to how many people you need to brainstorm something.
This is perfect.
Because, like, he and I will just talk and... No. Here we are, 15 minutes later, and we've got the School Sucks podcast Teen Wolf.
It's good. It's good, man.
I like it.
It's amazing.
This is nice. I want like a little figurine made. Like, you could
bobbleheads, bobbleheads.
Oh, total bobblehead. Yeah,
bobbleheads.
Yeah, and you know what'd be cool is if it could have your voice. Like, if you press on it, you'd be like, "School sucks. School sucks. Get out." Get out. School sucks. Freedom, liberty, freedom. That would be great.
These are good ideas. These are great ideas. All right. So for the sake of salvaging some usable content from this conversation.
You shouldn't have brought me on.
Can you tell us a little bit about why you were here to speak today?
Sure.
Kate?
Yeah. Free State Project puts on this Liberty Forum every year. They bring liberty-minded speakers together to talk. And they did ask me to come and talk this year. And I was really... happy to be invited to be a speaker.
And you did really well. You tamed an unruly crowd where people thought that because they were in the audience, they could give some of their own speeches.
I wanted it to be interactive, though, as well. I was looking forward to having a conversation because I knew it was a more advanced audience on my issue, which, you know, being school choice, I figured there would be some people here that understood it well enough that I could... have a conversation rather than simply lecture.
The problem is when people show up and they want to have a different conversation than the one you're trying to have. It doesn't.
Has that happened?
It seems like it happens sometimes.
I like challenges. I was really happy when Pam, who actually was on with us at Porkfest, Garrett's mom, teacher. She's a public school teacher, and she was the first person who asked a question after my speech. And I felt like I wasn't really fair with her. This was many years ago. This was actually Liberty Forum 2010. And I was kind of snappy with her. So we brought her on at Porkfest, and we talked about that. We actually agreed on quite a bit. And, you know, it reminds me that there's a lot of good people who are working in education who also feel trapped, like you talked about in the speech today, Kate, by this system.
Yeah.
You know? And the other thing that I really liked about what you had to say, well, I mean, this is, I guess, is another thing that where my opinion has changed in the last few years. Like, first time we did a show, I was all about unschooling, you know?
Yep.
And very idealistic and, like, very hands-off and kind of, you know, if the kid wants to put wine glasses, a KitchenAid, that's part of his, you know, exploratory process. It's fine. But in the last few years, I've realized that because there's such a variety of needs that people actually have, that young people actually have, that unschooling environment might not be suited to everybody. And it seemed like what you were saying, because I mean, some people need structure, right? Like, even us adults, there's a lot of people who are millionaires because us adults need stuff like getting things done. Seven Habits of Highly Successful People.
Right.
So even we need
people
some...
People are seeking that sort of guidance or whatever. I'll give you a real-life example.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, I used to do a lot of impressions. I still do them, right?
Yeah.
I was asked as a sophomore to do a school play.
Yeah.
By the seniors, because they knew I did a lot of voices. Now, I really would have enjoyed doing performance and acting and things like that, but I came from a tiny school. My parents didn't have any experience with this, and I didn't have that insight to be able to say, I need to be closer to where this stuff happens, New York, L.A., get an agent, get pictures done. And nobody gave me that advice. So it's one of those things where I don't know whether I would have taken it because I was such a little punk rock dude, whether I would have listened to it. But there are those instances where you say, gee, I look back and I'm like, man, if there had been one person around there who said, not only am I going to give you this advice, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I know this person. I'm going to do this. That would have helped me out.
A little bit of structure would have been nice for you in that.
A little bit of structure or somebody saying, hey, I think I know what you're talking about. Let me help you out a little bit.
So I think that maybe some of the chaos that we have in our adult lives, I mean, for me personally, like we're trying to get things done, trying to be organized, trying to stay on task, trying to stay focused. Yeah. I mean, that might be an outgrowth of my schooling experience, but it's something that certainly is plenty common. Why are we having these levels? I'm sorry, everyone. Just we'll pause for an issue to be solved here. Hold on. Free Talk Live. How do they do it? How do they just have a show that they bring anywhere and it works?
It's insane. It's out of control on how they do that. I think Ian has this weird aura where he can just affect computers like with his body. It's just bizarre.
I'm glad they're in this hotel.
Yeah, it always works good.
So close. Yeah. So it's just good.
It works great, and these people really appreciate us. What I mean? Like the people that work here get it.
They didn't the first year I was here.
Well, it took a little while.
John McCain. Yeah,
yeah, it took a little while.
Funky. Was that the year of the bongos?
Probably, yeah.
They're okay now, though.
That was the year they put a security detail on me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
On you?
A security detail on what event?
It was at Liberty Forum the year John McCain was here.
For what purpose?
John McCain got it in his head that I was some kind of terrorist or something.
Really?
It was crazy.
I
did get in a fight with his niece at the bar one night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They singled you out. Yeah. You can't mess with me. I'm John McCain, damn it. Yeah. Don't you understand me? You think my daughter's really hot, huh? I'll show you hot. Lawsuit hot.
Okay. Testing. Testing.
I'll show you a little heat.
Testing. All right. I'll go with that.
Whip your ass.
Did you ever see the YouTube clip where it's John McCain yelling at someone on an airplane?
No.
And they like selectively beeped out a bunch of words to make it sound like he was saying nasty things.
Awesome. Wait, he really was yelling at somebody on an airplane?
Yeah. He was raised voice, but the selective bleeping
made it look really bad.
Like he just was cussing this person out to no end.
So where were we?
We were talking about your ideas and how they've evolved.
Oh, that makes sense. This is my show.
with the mist coming out because it's my show.
So you used to have a more unschooling radical mindset.
Yeah, and
now
really
you're
helped.
Starting to realize that different things different work for different people.
I think it was a combination.
And that I might be on to something.
Of my experience, especially with working with some homeschoolers and seeing what their needs were, and my interactions with you over the years, that made me realize that some people do need that kind of environment, and not everybody can. You just can't flip a switch and unschool everybody tomorrow.
Right.
So,
although I do enjoy the idea of autonomy in learning, and having it be personal, and about the person that's the learner and not about the teacher.
So that was something that I thought you did a good job of pointing out today is like as long as people are free to make these decisions and the kids are involved in those decisions, we're way better off than we are now. And we don't really like we're kind of just, spinning our wheels if we're debating the best pedagogy while over 90% of kids are stuck in these jails.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
That's kind of
what I was talking about, I guess. Yeah.
Mental J-O-ing. So that's not what we want to do.
Yes, when you and I debate, it is funny because, we are very close in as far as understanding of education, pedagogy, and where our philosophies lie.
Mm-hmm.
I just have a tendency to think that empowering parents is step one, and the parents generally, in my experience, know their children quite well.
Right.
And I understand not every parent is going to be able to know their children well enough to make really deep decisions, possibly when the kids are older. But particularly with younger children, it seems like parents know them well. So, I mean, that's kind of why I put my weight behind this, work in school choice and the scholarships and whatnot, because I feel like it's a step in the right direction towards
Yeah, I mean, we spend a lot of time thinking and talking about what's ideal based on our philosophy, but he and I were just down, Osborne and I were just down at Sudbury, and we can certainly talk about things that are not great about it. I didn't know there'd be nailing during the show. Didn't know there'd be hammering and nailing.
He's just putting Christ on the cross over there. It's okay.
That was kind of our conclusion, was that it was definitely a step in the right direction, and I was really optimistic about a lot of things that I saw at Sudbury.
And we also thought that maybe that model, not in Massachusetts, might look a
fair
lot
enough.
Different.
Fair enough.
Very
yep.
true. Yeah.
No,
well, and I think too, the leaders, who the leaders of a school are, or you know, the teachers there do lend to the flavor. Yeah. So, for example, if you went to a school that Brett taught at, you know, perhaps it would be fairly free thinking,
yeah,
an autonomous environment.
Right. Yeah. I would hope so. I think that it's been something that has evolved to, you know, it's, I don't want to say Sudbury has evolved. It's gotten to the point where it is, after 40 years of trial and error, being real deep in the heart of Massachusetts, which is not a very free place. But, you know,
they're popular internationally, too. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, they're real popular in Israel.
It's
interesting.
Our democratic ally in the Middle East.
Yes, fighting for freedom.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of places they call these democratic schools, right? So that's what they're, but to them, democracy is freedom, it's equality. Like, those words are synonymous.
Okay.
With democracy.
Rather than having the individualist, more individualist idea that we have.
But I'm not really, like, going to push back too much, I think, from liberals, because if they understand that much about these kinds of liberals, because if they understand that much about how children should be treated and the kind of respect and freedom that children need, I'm thinking that, obviously this is presumptuous, but the places where they're liberal are, social issues, social freedom. Maybe these are probably not the drone liberals. Right,
right.
Who
right.
send their kids to Sudbury?
Yeah. Right.
So I think that there's a lot of allies there, and they jumped on. I mean, we were critical enough in the two shows that I did one, and then Osborne, Wes Bertrand, and I did another one.
Yeah.
And we had some criticisms of the democratic model and the judicial system. And some people from the school jumped on it in the comments.
Okay, interesting.
I'm happy, though, because at least we opened a dialogue. So.
I mean, I enjoy a collaborative environment.
Yeah.
And in
yeah.
my mind, I see that Sudbury model as being highly collaborative. You know, for example, being able to work together as a group. I mean, I don't know if I understand it at the depth that you do after being there, you know, how that democratic piece works.
Right.
Maybe I've always kind of ignored that piece in my head and just thought about how the environment feels autonomous and child-centered, and so that it would be exciting to be a student there to me. And so I would think if you have a build a team, so to speak, then it would work.
That's what we were saying, too, because, like, democracy to them just see, it's not like what it is to in the scheme of things in the United States, where it's basically a justification and an apology for the state, right? The democracy was their way of participating in the community and the good of the. I mean, I know all this is kind of BS, but the good of the community.
I don't think
was
it's
the authority.
Necessarily BS in a school situation.
I don't
you can talk about. I mean, it's like in a family.
Yeah.
A school could function similar to the way your family would function.
Right, right.
Where you work together towards a common goal. Possibly it's maintaining your household or doing chores or getting some other things done or cooperating. Those types of activities I think can happen at a school or home. And possibly they don't need the structure built around them called democratic.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
But is there a strain of thinking within that regarding preparation for participation in the state?
Yeah, that's the whole point of why they do it.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So, what was your impression of that then?
The thing is that nowhere in their literature, and I looked and I talked about this in the show, they talk about the coercive, authoritarian, disrespectful model of school we have.
Yeah.
And they talk about the ideals of American democracy. And so they want to have these ideals in the school. But they never make the connection that the reason why we live in such an effed up political state is because of the way children are treated,
yeah.
right? Mm. So they don't understand how the – no, I shouldn't say they don't understand, but they don't talk about it, and I don't know why. They don't talk about how the way government school works affects the adult political society,
mm-hmm.
which I don't know why they're missing that.
So within the structure of the school, in the various subjects that they teach, are they very open to the kids exploring what they want to explore?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean,
that's the whole thing.
That's their point,
that's the whole
right?
Sudbury model is so, an open environment of exploration rather than teaching.
Okay, so do they have a superstructure of questioning the state in any way, or is it just questioning the traditional formula of a school?
I think it's an environment that would lend itself
yes.
to people questioning authority.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think it also instills this idea of a benevolent authority. Mm-hmm. So like we get there. I said this too. It's so easy to be negative, mm-hmm. but like 95% of this experience for me and the additional research I did was positive.
Yeah.
But we pull in, we see Obama and Elizabeth Warren
bumper stickers,
which means that there is this hope for benevolent, caring authority. You know what I mean? That can exist. And I don't know. It's just, that was disappointing, but that doesn't mean that those people's children are going to grow up to support the same people that their parents do.
I would think, if anything, that it would create more out-of-the-box thinkers, being that the education environment is so open for exploration.
I would think so, too.
But remember the young lady we were talking to who had been victimized by the whole democratic process multiple times? She kept saying, oh, but it's not that bad. No, it's totally fine. You don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
As she would talk about how they basically ganged up on her and suspended her for walking on the wrong side of the road.
Like that at all. That's very dangerous.
No, it was messed up.
Seems to think that the.
But then she'd stop and she'd be, oh, it's not that bad. You don't understand, because I'm sure we had these looks on our faces.
Yeah, mine was like that.
Yeah, you know? yeah. Yeah, that's strange. But then again, maybe if more kids like that were abused by the democratic process there, they might start to recognize how bad the democratic process is.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's tricky. I mean, Sudbury. Having grown up in New England, Sudbury is famous for producing really hardcore statist leftists.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's what, if you hear about a Massachusetts politician and a talk radio host like, oh, educated at Sudbury, watch out.
That's so
interesting.
Counterintuitive. I agree. I do think that if we were to start a Sudbury model school in New Hampshire, it would not have the same flavor.
No,
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe it has a lot more to
New
do with
Hampshire
the parents.
Is a much different, I think, True. Environment just in general
yeah.
in our
yeah.
thinking.
Yeah.
And we talked about this on the show. I don't think we'd want to have anything to do with anything that involved democratic process.
Correct.
Because it's the very epitome of the win-lose situation. You get half the people win, half the people lose. Every single time. Every single issue.
But the illusion with democracy is that we all get to participate, so everybody wins.
And it's fine.
It's like the two wolves and a sheep deciding what's for dinner. I mean, same thing. Yeah.
But
you know how that goes.
You know, I was thinking – sorry, Brett.
The criticism that they would level – like if I put this show out and they continue to listen to my podcast – what they would say is, well, what's the alternative when you have a group of people that does require organization, that does require management, where decisions have to be made where not everybody can benefit from every decision? I mean, we just were sitting here in this room listening to Jack Spierko speak, right?
Yeah.
And I thought he was a great speaker. I thought it was very educational. I think he made a listener out of me for his podcast, but he does this thing called the Survival Podcast. And he was saying that, freedom is not always getting what you want, which is not possible all the time. You can't always get what you want, especially when you are part of a group of people. Right. So the example I always give is like when we go out to dinner and there's six of us and five people want Indian food and I want Chinese food.
Right.
If I don't want to eat alone,
Indian.
It's still a voluntary thing, though.
Right.
You're deciding, yes, I will subsume. I will discard my choice here in favor of being with the group rather than getting the taste that I want. I'm going to have the accompaniment that I want.
And democracy ensures that someone's going to lose in that situation, whereas the marketplace provides us the ability to make sure everybody.
Right. And in this case, he wins because he gets to go with his friends.
Everybody can give him $5.
There, that's great if he wants to
problem
go
solved,
with that.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, and that, that happens all the time. People, look, come with us, do this, and I'll pay for you.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
well, one of the things that troubles me is when you talk about, and of course, I'm coming at this just having heard what you guys did and so on and so forth, but you make me think of the term the right to vote in democracy, where there, if you actually look at that phrase, the right to vote, what that's saying is, within a state context, it is the right to tell someone else, I want you to do this if I get to be in the majority, as opposed to the right to buy or the right to communicate or the right to associate, all of these things. And so that's one of the things that troubles me when you look at people who just talk about democracy and they don't distinguish between free market democracy, free market individual choice voluntarism versus government democracy. The right to vote. Oh, everybody should have the right to vote. That's the height of an enlightened society. And we're all here together, even though you kids are being forced to come to this school as opposed to going to other schools. And now you get to vote, or you have a democratic system, and it's a little bit closer to what you might want. But, you know, still, if people vote to, you know, abuse some child in the school because she was walking incorrectly, like John Cleese or something like that, then everybody had the right to vote. So it's good.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like this weird self-immolation thing that they're learning to accept, to say, no, it's okay because it's within that better system. It's that utopian system. And they're not distinguishing between the fact that you don't have a right to vote in a government system. There's no such thing as a right to vote, but people talk about it. You have a right to your own choices, to your own voluntary interactions, but you don't have a right to say, I'm voting and you're going to do this.
Right.
And this is one of the things, I don't know if I'm perceiving this correctly from your visit to the school, but this is one of the things that in that environment, I wonder if they're distinguishing between those two things, and I doubt that they are. You know, I don't know, maybe I'm off base.
I don't know. I wish we could have seen more, because I felt like, you know, this has to make more sense than it appears to make, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
It really is one of the only models where teachers or mentors or whatever their guides that they're calling them there are engaging with the children on a level of respect for their opinions at all.
Yeah.
So let's just keep that in mind, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That in
most
situations, the children are not being consulted really at all.
Yeah.
And so I do appreciate that they've attempted to create an environment where they see themselves as empowering these people in the decision-making at the school.
Right.
Yeah.
And whether or not they've designed a perfect system for that, I mean, maybe they have, maybe they haven't. I mean, clearly it sounds like there's some flaws.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that they're engaging those individuals, no matter how tall they are, in the operations of that establishment, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I shouldn't jump down. I shouldn't come down.
It's kind of cool. It's kind of interesting.
Sound pretty cool.
I do have heard what your perception is of it several times from other people too. So it's not surprising that it feels weird there, the democratic piece. But yet I'm happy that it's the children that are working through some of that stuff, rather than it just being the adults saying the rule is you walk in a straight line from point A to point B, then you take your milk out of the crate, and then you sit at the table, and you eat lunch for 20 minutes, and then you go outdoors and play, and don't cross the line. Stay over there.
Yeah, I'd like to see how flexible it is, too, as far as how things change, because one of the worst features of the government school system, I mean, aside from all the other terrible things about it, is that the environment that kids enter. And John Kozel, you know who he is? He was a lefty. He was in Boston. But he was one of the people that really influenced me early on when I was researching this stuff. He wrote in his book, The Night is Dark and I'm Far From Home, about how this is just kind of like surrender for the sake of belonging in the government schools. Mm-hmm. Like what happens is you go into this place. It already has a method. It already has a schedule. It already has a process. If you are polite and obedient, you will be invited to participate. And the same goes with society, right? Like, this is not, like, you shouldn't feel like you can change things. You shouldn't feel like, unless you have a better system for managing everybody, you have no right to be critical of this. So I wonder how much that's true with Sudbury, or is there a flexibility in their environment where somebody could propose a dramatic change in the way the school operates, and there would be dialogue about it, and then there would be a vote.
It does sound like in their philosophy, from what I've read, that yes, you're correct. That is how it would operate. And I can imagine, actually, that children might become more authoritative than the adults. And so that's probably what they have to fight against, right?
Do you think so?
Well, I think that small people have a tendency to want to control their environments. You know, in a way that, you know, when you're a parent to a child, you tend to have to work with them on not always controlling their environment and understanding kind of this is this and that's that. And, you know, yeah, we got to wear our seatbelt. And, you know, okay, you don't want to wear your seatbelt, but really, you know, I'm going to ask you to wear your seatbelt right now. You know, don't I sound like a police officer? I'm going to have to ask you to wear your seatbelt. I mean, sometimes those types of things, it seems like children, you know, are fiercely independent. Right, and exercise that independence. And so I wonder if it's the opposite than of what you're discussing, if perhaps they have to keep the kids from overmanaging the environment.
Did it seem like that was the case? Like, it seemed like that was kind of encouraged, that the kids police each other.
Right, absolutely. I mean, they said if you don't file a complaint against someone, you can have a complaint filed against you for not filing the complaint.
And it seemed like a lot of the things, and I was really hoping, like, I really wanted to, I don't know if we were, I guess I can only speak for myself. I don't know if I went there fishing for things to find wrong with it.
Yeah. The point that you make, the point that Kate makes, and then hearing what Osborne had to say, it's interesting because it seems like in theory, if you were trying to manage a school like this, you'd have to try to balance both of those interests. You know, you'd have to try to balance, you know, how much can we let the kids really participate? How much do we have the parents involved here? Where do we have to try to say, you know, we really can't do that naked kids in class,
right?
You know, that sort of thing.
We're not painting the building pink.
Yeah, that sort of stuff versus like, hey, you know, we only have this much time. We only have these sorts of resources. We really can't read that book or watch that movie today. We can't do that versus. So that sort of give and take to say, yeah, okay, you know, the parents would really like us to listen a little more to the kids here. We're being too authoritarian. And again, you know, I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly what you saw. But then going to what I gather was a bit of this atmosphere, which seems to be almost like, well, I just saw Jesus Christ Superstar, but it's all gone sour. And it's maybe not at that point, but maybe a very, very good idea, but so infused with a sort of politically correct mindset of the Massachusetts liberal PC statist sort of concept that within this, we are going to choose and it's going to be an experimental school sort of mindset, there is still this, well, you got to watch out. The kids, right. The one thing we're going to make sure you do is that you police each other in a way that is oppressive, the way we could do it ourselves.
Well, yeah, and that seemed to me like it was, like I was saying before, I wasn't fishing for things that were wrong, but that was a very important question that I asked up front when they were talking about the disciplinary process. And we didn't know the extent of the judicial review thing. We only knew that they had these school meetings where they voted on things and maybe, you know, 49% of the people didn't get their way on a daily basis on certain issues. And that was troubling. So when we started talking about the reporting and what Osborne said, that our tour guide told us that people were encouraged to make complaints, and we found out later that these are often for very trivial things. Well, you know, that I think that goes along with what you're saying.
Yeah, I think the danger that I see is translating the what you say, the 51%, 49% thing as laudatory, as this is a structure that you will accept because you're sort of here voluntarily. Your parents, you know, there's obviously pressure. Your parents have gotten you here, this sort of thing. So you want to perform. You want to accept this. You want to be part of this. You get out of here, it's going to be a great reputation. So don't rock the boat too much. You know, it's a big school. You can get into a big college, that sort of thing. And then, because this is a lot of the stuff that goes through kids' minds in any of these types of schools, right?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I felt like there was... the kids were involved in like some of the financial aspects, so they could know what was realistic as far as like what ideas. Like there were committees. What did they call them? Corps. Yeah, I think which was short for corporations. Yeah. So like there would be a music corp. There would be maybe a theater corp. I don't remember them all by name, but a music corp was one that they definitely told me about, where they actually discussed the finances with kids, which I think is very, very respectful. And
it is a really interesting model.
That is cool. See, so what my mind jumps to then, Brett, is you know, I'm in a business context, that's exactly the kind of thing that you deal with so much. If you've got partners, if you've got investors, you say, okay, what are we looking at here? What are we doing with our money? What sort of payoff are we getting? And those sorts of things. And then, but if it's within a state context, that's a different deal because you can't pull out.
Right.
So, you know, while these kids do have a vote within it, it's not like the kids can say, I'm pulling out.
Yeah.
Because they're still, if they're in the 49%, they're still going to be affected. So it depends on how much they're stressing this is within the workings of this institution. This doesn't translate to the state. This could translate to business in this case or this case.
But yeah.
The difference between what is truly voluntary and what just looks voluntary within a non-voluntary environment.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, Kate, you've got to go?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go too, actually. So.
All right. Sorry. All right. Yeah. We might try to round up some more people and do like another half hour.
Sure.
All right. We got Neil, who's going to come on with us from Flaming Freedom.
It was fun to be on the show.
It was great to have you guys on the show. I think this was a good conversation despite our technical challenges.
This is good. It replenishes my belief in the goodness of people when I talk to you guys. So, that's good.